right, welcome everybody to the 14th edition of the Playing with the Boys podcast. I am your fill-in host for the week, Aaron, and I am joined by the usual, sort of. I'm joined by Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Aaron.
How are you this evening? I'm doing good, buddy. And I'm joined by a very special guest, the man of the hour. Notorious Wojo. How are you, my friend?
I'm just fine, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. You are our former host, Boney's, I guess, archenemy.
I feel like Gerald Ford. I feel like I'm replacing Richard Nixon here.
Yeah, basically. And so Boney, the star of the podcast, the only one anyone cared about.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened with him other than he had a meltdown and hates us all now. And now you are here. So that's a long story short. Do you have anything you want to say right off the bat?
I tried to reach out to Boney. I was sending him video montages. He didn't take too kindly to that. So, no, I'm sure he'll listen. I'm sure he'll critique my performance, know how bad it'll be. But I'm sure we'll hear from him again. I doubt he'll stay silent on the subject.
No, I tend to agree with you. Mike, do you have anything you want to say regarding the Boney?
Yeah, I feel like if you follow us on Twitter, you know my feelings about Boney. And, he's good on the podcast. But I think it's time to move on from that. And I wish him the best of the luck with the cats, the Wendy's extra value meals, and his fry holsters. And, I hope he gets happier about life. I do.
I forever in the lore of the Playing with the Boys podcast will be the Roy Rogers fry holsters, the stories about Bay.
Chocolate City.
Chocolate City. When he actually...
Hashtag yes, all women.
Yes. When he challenged...
The hydrochloric acid.
Hydrochloric acid challenge. Boney, you will forever be in my heart. I don't know why you were mad at me, because I literally did nothing.
I can understand why you've been mad at me before. I get it.
All of this could have basically been avoided, I guess, if we were deported last week, or if I wouldn't have asked to be in a fantasy football league with King Jarvey. So life goes on. Boney, I hope we can be friends again one day. But unfortunately for him, the podcast will have to live on without him. So
I've never seen anybody that mad at Jarvey.
No,
I haven't either.
That mad at Jarvey. Jarvey's a sweet fella.
Jarvey's a good man. You can be mad at us. We're assholes.
Yeah, but Jarvey's a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But but we will move on. We will, it's actually football season, so there's actual football to talk about.
Yeah, and once I'm outnumbered here.
Yeah. For the first time, we have two Buckeyes. But I want to get something just out of the way real quick. I wanted to talk about this. It has nothing to do with our teams, but they are two Big Ten teams. I saw these stories, and I thought they were both interesting. The first one was the did you guys see the Northwestern wristband story?
No,
I didn't.
Well, Northwestern that played so awful in the first half. There was a story, I believe, I don't know where it was exactly, but that their wristbands in the first half were wrong defensively, and they were calling the wrong formations, and that's why that's why they played so terribly. My only thought on that is, why did it take them? And they changed it at halftime, supposedly. But I don't know why.
They're an academically superior university to everyone else in the Big Ten.
But it took them one half to figure that out.
That's kind of funny.
That's something that you would expect Purdue to do. If you heard that story on SB Nation or ESPN.com, that Purdue was calling the wrong defensive formations because they gave the kids the wrong wristbands, you'd go, well, yeah, that's Purdue.
Yeah, right. You would.
You would not expect it from Northwestern.
That's something you expect Bobby Boucher's team from the Water Boy to do. But that is apparently what Northwestern did. I just thought that was a very interesting story. But my only other one was the Joel Stave story. Did you guys hear that one?
No.
I did.
He was out with the yips. He didn't actually have an injury. He just has forgot how to accurately throw a football to his receivers.
Do Wisconsin quarterbacks throw footballs? Is it because Jared Aberderis is not there to catch every single freaking ball?
That probably could be a large part of it.
I mean, as an Ohio State fan and Mike, who watches majority of Ohio State games, you know, throwing to Jared Aberderis 20 times a game and, you know, watching him torch, you know, just go up and down the field, maybe that has something to do with it. I.
Mike, anything to add?
About Joel Stave and footballs?
Yeah,
I know you
don't pay attention to Wisconsin like they're Ohio State, but I just thought that was an interesting story that he forgot how to throw a football.
It doesn't surprise me. I mean, he's an awful quarterback. I mean, anyone can throw up deep balls to Jared Aberderis against Bradley Roby, and he'll come down with it.
Joe Bowserman could not have thrown up deep balls to Jared Aberderis. So
yeah, I'll give you that one. I'll give you that. Nick Sheridan couldn't either.
There might have been a few guys that couldn't have worked with.
By the picture I just tweeted the both of you, I can't understand how he's not throwing the ball well. I mean, look at the guy.
He's a handsome dude, right? Pretty.
What a fucking douche. Holy shit. He looks Joel douchier. He looks douchier than Jason Kipnis.
Oh, God.
Is that a shot at Jason Kipnis on the rally stash? Is that a shot at the rally stash?
It's a shot at, yes, and at his baseball playing ability.
So, oddly, for the first time, although you're a Michigan fan, Mike, we have three Cleveland fans on this podcast. So,
yeah.
It's kind of a welcome change from the Boney wasn't a fan. He was just a troll of Ohio sports teams.
Yeah, I don't really consider him a fan of any team. But
Mark's unabashed fandom of the Detroit Tigers and the Detroit
Mark
Lions.
Mark is a very passionate, loyal Detroit fan.
Very true. And we would like to say Mark is in bed.
I miss Mark.
And we miss him very much. And I think Mark just needed a nice mental break.
Mark is taking the brunt of this Boney backlash.
Mark is legitimately one of the nicest people I've ever met, I believe.
Yeah, he's up there.
Not as nice as King Darby, but no one is.
Yeah.
So Mike, your Wolverines won in convincing fashion against a well below average Appalachian State team. How does that make you feel?
I mean, I still don't know. I mean, I was happy, obviously. I saw some things that I liked, but I mean, we're not going to really know the true Michigan until, I mean, I don't even want to say Saturday. I mean, we've beaten Notre Dame 5 out of 6 times, and how much has that really meant anything in the grand scheme of things? So, I don't know. I'm taking it one game at a time. I know it's very cliche, but
Mike,
go ahead, Lewis.
Mike, did you see my tweet today? Do you subscribe to that thought, that what I tweeted out today?
I don't know.
It was basically, I think that all three, your Ohio State, your Michigan State, if all three of them don't win this weekend, that it pretty much screws the Big Ten.
Oh, I would agree. Yeah.
With Wisconsin losing in such horrific.
Yeah, we're out of the 4-game playoff race in week 2 if all three teams lose, and that's horribly embarrassing.
Yeah, because I mean, all three of them need each other right now. There is
badly.
Yeah, and it's as much as it pains me to say. And granted, I don't like Notre Dame. I can't stand Notre Dame, especially if you have Notre Dame alumni in your family. I go blue. I'll say it. I say it once a year. That's fine. Go get them. But I think the big one is, you know, Sparty going out to Autzen is going to be, you know, a challenge to say the least.
My little prediction for this weekend is Ohio State and Michigan win, and Michigan State goes to Oregon and takes a loss. And I think, to be realistic, Michigan State is the most likely to represent the Big Ten. And I think that's going to hurt them, and I think that might effectively kind of end the Big Ten reign anyway, the Big Ten shot, I should say, at that Final Four anyway.
I mean, I think that Oregon-Michigan State game is – it's like a perfect clash of styles. But I think Michigan State will be able to keep it close because Narduzzi and D'Antonio can scheme for any kind of offensive game plan and put a stop to it. But I think in the end, the home crowd and Marcus Mariota will be just too much for them to overcome.
Yeah, I just think it would take something very special to go into Oregon and win a night game.
But I think
for anybody, you know, really.
Well, I think they can. I think Sparty can slow them down, but can they really generate anything offensively? I could see them holding Mariota, you know, as much as you can hold him in an offensive scheme, but can they really? Are they really going to be able to generate anything offensively on the road against that crowd, against, you know, that defense? Can they really, you know, are they really going to be able to generate anything offensively?
We'll see. I mean, everyone said they couldn't against Stanford, and they were able to do it.
True.
Yeah. True.
So the saddest thing about this week for me is that because Boney's not here and his prediction of Ohio State to start out 2-4 and go into Maryland and lose handily to Navy, he cannot come clean on that because Ohio State won that game 34-17, so he's not here to answer for himself. But although I don't think we really found anything out about Ohio State, they did not fall demise to the triple option offense like Sir Escort Carruth said they would. Do you guys have anything to add to the Ohio State Navy game?
I was at the Michigan game, so I didn't see any of the Ohio State game.
It was,
but I felt enough need to troll about it.
Yeah, we know.
Yes.
It was exactly what I expected. I didn't expect a blowout. I expected them to be tentative for a quarter, not a half. But then, you know, the size, you'll grind them down, and unless, you know, you totally screw Barrett totally screwed it up, you know, they were going to be fine, and that's what you kind of expected, that they would pull away at the end. Now, night game at home, 109,000 at the Shoe, is the piss going to be rolling down Barrett's leg, or is he going to rise to the occasion? I mean, last week was a warm up. This is for real, you know. And is he going to, you know, collapse under his own weight of, you know, and will Ohio State Twitter be calling for Cardale Jones at halftime?
Oh God,
Mike, what is your
I can only hope that happens.
What is your
God? That make me so happy. I mean, as much as I troll Ohio State, I'm not really focused on the Buckeyes this week. I mean, my team has a huge game against a rival for the final time. So I know it's going to be tough for them to throw the football against Virginia Tech as an awesome secondary. They got Kyle and Kendall Fuller back there. They're both really good players.
Wow.
Did you have something to add, was it?
No, that wasn't me. That was Nick.
Hey, that was me. Sorry, I don't even know how this just happened.
Oh, wow. Our fourth fill-in member decided to just show up 20 minutes into the podcast. Nick and Menner, how you doing, bud?
I never got a call, man. I heard an alarm on my tablet, and then I called back, and that's that, man. I never got a call, I promise.
Nick just got first-time listener, long-time caller. First-time caller, long-time listener.
So our caller joining the show, what did you want to talk about, Nick?
Well, I just wanted to call in and say that I'm very honored to be a fill-in podcast guy. So what's the topic? What are we talking about, guys?
Let me ask you a question, because that doesn't matter anymore. Are you a regular listener to the podcast?
No, I'm not. I'm not even going to lie. I can't lie.
That's a horrible thing. Okay, so we will talk about whatever else you want to talk about then, since you just rudely interrupted us in the middle of the show.
Well, I was waiting for an invite at 11:15 and I never got it, so I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
How many times did you fap to the Jennifer Lawrence nude pics that were leaked this week?
No, dude, that was the only one I saw, and I saw her, and she was naked, and I was unimpressed. First of all, I didn't think she was that attractive to begin with, and then I saw her without her clothes on, and that makes me even less of a fan.
Oh, Mike, Woja, what about you fellas?
Jennifer Lawrence?
Many of the famous iCloud hacking...
I was pissed off that Justin Verlander is covering up Kate Upton. I'll tell you that much. I wanted to airbrush him right out of that photo.
Well, Joe, you had some interesting thoughts, I think I read.
I was on Twitter at the time. I was at the bar, and I started doing digging and ended up pulling up the pictures. And we were a large group of people. To see the women just go, wow, that's not that impressive. I didn't know how to react to that because... Yes, Kate Upton is impressive, but
I don't know.
The airbrush is a little heavy sometimes.
As a man, I like my girls to be a little bit thicker than what Kate Upton and Jennifer Lawrence have to offer. I'm not gonna complain about looking at it, but
oh no,
I just have a different preference when it comes to the ladies. I like them to be a little bit more filled out.
But I'll say, I thought my favorite part of the whole night was the kind of like staged photo of Kate Upton and Justin Verlander. And you could see both their butts in the red marks on their behinds, where it looked like they were maybe lightly spanking each other. Let me ask you guys.
I did not look at the photos that in depth, but impressive. Thank you.
I examined them very carefully. But let me ask you guys, if you were, you know, in any way anybody cared about you, like say you were like Boney and people really cared about you, and you had these nude photos leaked, would you guys be embarrassed or would you just kind of laugh it off?
I'd be embarrassed. I don't know. Maybe if I'm Kate Upton and people see me, my body all the time, I guess it might not bother me that much. But if I'm someone who's trying to not have that happen, I'd be pretty embarrassed.
I think that's a good point, because while most men are used to seeing Kate Upton in a bikini, or
right.
You know, whereas the other ones. Not so much. So it kind of opened up. I did enjoy the trashiness of the J-Law pictures. I'm not going to lie. They were kind of, you know, they were kind of grainy casting couch kind of pictures. And I did enjoy that.
I mean, most Kate Upton pictures leave very little to the imagination anyway. So,
all right, but if you're Justin Verlander, you're a pitcher in Major League Baseball.
I don't think Justin Verlander gives a fuck about.
Do you think he is more from his girlfriend has naked pictures out, or that you saw him naked?
I don't know. I would just be like, look at what I got. Fuck you, world. And
yeah, I would rather have my girlfriend like. Show her ass than the world see me, because then at least they know like what I've been tapping, you know. Like, I don't know. That's just me.
I don't know, man. He looks like the happiest guy in the world in that picture. His face Well, yeah, just smiling from ear to ear. And I would, you know, it's just kind of like, hey, look what I got. Fuck you.
That is true. It's like, hi, I just got done screwing Kate Upton, and you didn't.
Yep.
Let me ask you two this. So, are you three now? So, those pictures of Kate Upton and the Justin Verlander were obviously pictures they were taking together. Are those pictures that they just, you know, had for themselves, or do they have like some creepy swinger thing going on and they were like sending those out to you know, their friends? I mean, who are those pictures for?
I think they're for each other. I don't think they're sending them to anyone.
My theory is that they are in some underground sex world.
I mean, we hope that as Indians fans that that's what Justin Verlander's doing. And maybe with his pitching performance so far this year, maybe that is what he's been doing.
Well, but we saw him yesterday. I mean, I'm just saying, man.
God damn it, that fucking
No, those pictures were taken for, like, each other. And apparently she got fished on an email or something. And she replied back with her username and password or something. And then, like, I don't know, somehow they tapped into her phone or I don't know. But I will say this. I lied about that. I did see the one picture of them in front of the shower with Verlander and Kate Upton. And I was always one to say that I thought Kate Upton was kind of overrated, and the picture didn't really do it for me either. So, I don't know. Especially with naked Verlander next to her. Ugh.
Yeah, naked Verlander. Naked Verlander ruined everything.
Yeah. As little as I thought of Kate Upton before, I think even less of her now. I don't know.
Well, we have four Browns fans on the podcast, so we'll move on from the naked scandal here. But I don't want to get into the team. I just want to know what you guys think. And, Nick, you seem to be, like, probably the most critical Browns fan. I know Mike is, but Mike is just more of apathetic about the Browns.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, I haven't really got a good gauge on your thoughts, but Nick, you're very critical. But your top wide receiver, who less than a year ago was the best receiver in the NFL, is now a used car salesman, or at least maybe he's a new car salesman, but he is nonetheless a car salesman. So,
any thoughts on that?
Nick, I want to go to you first. What is your thought on that?
I just, when I first heard it, I didn't think it was a sham at all. I thought that my first immediate impression was that, wow, good for him. He's going to get a job, and he's going to do some community outreach, and he's going to hopefully stay out of trouble to get his mind off of shit, and maybe it'll help him, you know, just rehabilitate himself and just stay out of trouble. I thought it was good that he was going to spend some time and make some money, you know, because this guy's got to have – he's got to need to make some money. He can't just sit out for a full year and just – never get a check for full 12 months. I think it was a good thing. And then I heard people on KNR today, I won't say names, but they thought it, somehow this is a negative thing. I don't see it like that. I think it's a good thing.
Mike?
Yeah, I agree with Nick. I think the best thing, I think the worst thing for him would be to be suspended and just be alone with himself and fall off the face of the earth. And possibly get into some things worse than just habitually smoking marijuana. And I don't know if you guys saw, but there was like this escort who kept tweeting pictures of like Jenna Shea tweeting, you know, he's not putting all of his money into Jenna Shea and habitually smoking weed. I don't know. I think Josh Gordon needs some structure in his life, and hopefully he takes this seriously and is able to get out of it.
Well, Joe?
The shit show continues. I can't put it any other way.
Yeah,
that
I mean,
the guy that was literally the best receiver in the NFL, or you know, top one or top three last year, is now hacking cars. And
right. Josh Gordon coming up to you saying, what can I do to put you into Chevy today?
Better yet, Josh Gordon having to go back and I need to go talk to my manager. Mike and I are both making the same sound because we've
it's the browsiest thing ever.
Exactly.
So would you guys buy it from Josh Gordon?
No.
The irony is I'm trying to buy another car right now, and I would probably run if I saw Josh Gordon on the other side.
I mean, I just bought a car. What do you think Josh Gordon's knowledge of cars is?
I mean, he has that cool camo Porsche, right?
Camouflage.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm going to just
throw
it out there.
So, it's Josh Gordon. You know, this car has a lot of trunk space in case you're trying to, you know, haul gratuitous amounts of marijuana across state lines.
He knows exactly how many ashtrays are in every car.
He does, and he knows that there's a secret compartment in your center console or glove compartment.
Oh, yeah. He knows the stash spots on all those cars, for sure.
Does the glove box lock? That's
the most important question.
See, he's a guy who, yeah, I mean, if you're a stoner or you're, you know, involved in the drug trade in any way, you have a guy who kind of has the insight rather than some, you know, 55-year-old middle-aged
right.
or white guy who doesn't know.
So if Pablo Escobar comes to Cleveland to buy a car,
we will know.
He knows where to go.
Correct. Correct. All right, guys.
Go see Josh.
I want to get to one more story. I'm going to read this to you guys, okay? And then we're going to get out of here because we don't have the father of the podcast, and it's not the same without Mark. But there is a man.
12:15.
What's that?
The morning.
Correct. It's very late at night. But I just want to get your guys' opinions on this, okay? I'll read this real quick for you.
I feel
you.
Like I'm doing Ben Mahler's show right now.
Oh. Yeah. Apparently, one man was recently granted a divorce by a Mumbai, or Mumbai, however you pronounce that, family court because he could no longer deal with his wife's excessive and insatiable desire for sex. According to the Times of India, the sex-fatigued husband first approached the court in January, claiming that his wife was aggressive, stubborn, and not authentic, and that she'd be harassing him for sex if they married in April 2012. The man told the court he forced medication on him to boast his sexual stamina and threatened to hook up with other men if she remained up. Things got so bad, the husband had to be hospitalized for an uneasy stomach at one point. In the end, the wife failed to appear before the court, so the divorce was granted. So that's
probably out of banging some other dude. Yeah.
Wait, do you, how bad did this chick look? How is that possible?
There are no pictures, but Wilder, you're about to get married. Do you think that could be your potential reason for divorce?
my wife wants to have too much sex. I got to get out of here.
I am the first one to admit and... Or at least, I believe Mike knows this. I've outkicked my coverage.
That's not hard for you to do.
You have.
I have outkicked. So if that is ever a problem, you all have permission to come and just punch me in the nuts. Just because if that's ever a problem in my relationship, I'm at a loss.
I mean, we're talking about India here. They have a serious population control issue as it is. I'm trying to play devil's advocate here. You know, maybe this guy just, you know, maybe they got like 20 kids. You don't know his circumstance. I feel like it's a very normal thing to happen in India.
They've been married since April of 2012.
They probably popped out like 3 or 4 by now.
I don't think that's true. Nick, please add something.
Yeah, I'm trying to wrap my head around this story. So this guy, like, she's pissed because he doesn't want to have sex with her. She must look terrible, or he's banging somebody else. I don't know, man. As far as that story,
that she just wants an absurd amount of it, and he cannot handle it.
But who can't handle it? I can go 7 times a day. What the hell's going on here?
Is that your humble brag?
No, it's actually my unhumble like admission of being pathetic, because it's been like about four or five months for me, so it's kind of where my mindset is now.
Wow.
Bummer for him. Actually, bummer for me.
That is a bummer for you.
Nick, since you joined us so late, do you have
anything? Yeah, I'm sorry I had to interrupt you guys.
Listen, things happen. Do you have anything that you want to discuss tonight or get off your chest, maybe pertaining to Cleveland Browns?
I just, you know, it's been on the airwaves now for about like 2 weeks, but I started... What in the hell is going on? I started feeling like, I don't know, like, just disinterested. This is weird. This is the first year I can ever remember
on
stand up. I'm just not excited. It's so weird.
Yep. Yep.
And I've heard that sentiment echoed over the airwaves and other fans through Twitter. It just, there's something about this season, even though we had an exciting offseason, kind of. And it's not even the Gordon thing. I ruled out Gordon in May, you know? It's just, there's something about this season. I'm just not excited. Maybe it's the Cavs, Ron. I don't know what it is, but I do not feel the same as I have felt for the past, I don't know, 15, 20 years for a Brown season. It's just so weird. I don't know.
Would you be excited if it wasn't Hoyer?
Maybe.
I would be.
That plays into it, but I loved watching Hoyer last year, and it was so deflating watching him go down in that Bills game.
I guess it's just because I get a different view, not being in Ohio and being around people. The majority, you know, the overwhelming majority of people that I'm around on a daily basis are not Browns fans. So they, you know, I kind of get the pat on the head like, oh, Rojo's a Browns fan. You know, like, oh, you know, so cute. And their view of it, and I agree with it, is if Johnny Football was starting on Sunday, I think we'd be excited.
Oh, I'd be pumped.
Win or lose, I think we'd all be like,
yeah, I'd be
great.
A lot more.
And
I'd be in a completely different place.
You know what they're going to – I mean, it doesn't take years of NFL, you know, Dick LeBeau experience to know what they're going to do on Sunday. Hoyer's going to hand the ball to Ben Tate 25 times. They're going to run it up the middle. They're going to look for third and seven. They're going to be throwing it in a flat. And that's going to be it. And they're going to pray that, you know, they're dumb, that Roethlisberger is dumb enough to throw Hayden's way, which he's not. And so what do we have to look forward to other than, you know, after week four, you know, after the bye week?
I agree with you there. I've been of the opinion that Manziel is not ready. So even if we did throw him out there, I would be excited, but I'd be less, like, it makes me less excited knowing that he's not ready and he's just probably going to get killed. I don't really know what the hell's going on.
But who's making those loud breathing noises?
I'm not breathing. Well, I'm breathing, obviously, but not through my mouth.
Well, Joe, continue.
I mean, how many quarterbacks in say the last 3 or 4 years were not ready either? Was Cam Newton ready?
Cam Newton was way more ready.
You think
way
so?
More ready. I think so, absolutely.
Cam Newton's also 6'6", 250 pounds.
Correct.
A freak athlete.
And he's taken the most hits the past 3 years of any quarterback, but he can sustain those hits. Johnny can't do that.
I love Cam.
I love Cam, too. Oh, I love him. But so Johnny, he's not ready. He's never had to read a playbook. He's never been in a huddle. They called Hike at A&M, and he just went out and did his thing. I don't know.
Nick, describe for me, Nick, you watching around and kind of set the scene for me of what it's like. Because I feel like if I was, say, your girlfriend or significant other, that I would be fearful that you were going to beat me.
Oh, you would have left. You would have left me a long time ago. Yeah.
How violent do you get during games?
Sundays are bad because, like, I'm screaming at the TV and it's not helpful. Somebody's taking out their cards, they know. Whoa.
Is Mike exercising?
Mike doing what?
Are you exercising, Mike?
What was that?
Oh, it's not exercising. It sounds like excavating.
I mean, I can hear the wood floor creaking, and that's all I kind of got out of that.
I just went and threw something away.
Okay, there you go.
It's frustrating. You guys know how frustrating it is. We look forward to every September, and every September it's 4-12, 5-11. It just sucks.
Okay. I don't know. I've just gotten to the point of indifference. I watched this preseason, and it's just the same old shit. I mean, you hear about this awesome defense, and they can't get off the field on third down. And you watch, you know, the first two plays in Washington is a sack and an offsides penalty, and Mitchell Schwartz being a turnstile. I mean, it just gets to the point where you just kind of – you look at it, and you're just like, this is what it is. And there's no point about getting angry about it anymore because it's never going to change. So why am I going to just sit there and get frustrated over something that isn't worth it? I mean, it's just not. Like, tonight I watched the Indians, and I'm still fucking pissed off because they actually – you know, I know everyone makes fun of them all the time, and I do as well. But, I mean, at least they give you some kind of hope. The Browns give you nothing. I mean, nothing. It's just, you know, they win two games in a row, and this city turns into a frenzy. Two games. It's just like we just want it so badly. And I do think some of it has to do with LeBron. I mean, I'm looking right past Browns season. I'm not going to lie. I mean,
October 30th is really what
I mean. I care, but I'm going to watch every Sunday. But at the end of the day, I know this team's going to be god-awful, and I'm going to be waiting until October 30th to watch LeBron James, Kevin Love, and Kyrie Irving dominate the NBA. It is what it is.
If there wasn't two craft breweries in Jacksonville that I have to go to, I don't know if I'd be excited to watch the Browns play Jacksonville, which I have tickets for.
Are you going to sit in the pool and watch?
No, we are not sitting in the pool. But, I mean, my brother is flying down from Cleveland for that game.
Wow.
So, that tells you I'm excited to see him. I haven't seen my brother in a while. You know, I don't get to see my family a whole lot because I live down here. But I'm not excited for the game. It's going to be a shit show. I'm excited for everything else about it. You know, we're going with friends, and we're going to a city that we've never been to before, and there's you know, stuff for me to do for work that involves drinking beer, which is fantastic. But I'm not excited about it. Same thing on Sunday. You know, my fiance and I are more worried about, well, what are we going to make for drinks, and what are we going to make for food? You know,
right.
It's more about the experience of just actually watching. And thank God for Red Zone. You know, without Red Zone, I think I'd really hate the Browns.
Yeah, I really don't plan on going to a Browns game this year. I usually try to make it to at least two or three a season, and this year I'm not willing to shell out like $70 to go watch a shit product, and I'm just done with it. I mean, I'll go down and tailgate, and then I'll go watch the game somewhere, but I'm not going to spend money to go watch Brian Hoyer throw dead ducks to Miles Austin.
Especially when you can put that money away for Cavs.
Exactly. I mean, that's what pretty much my whole entertainment fund dollar is going to.
All right, guys. I want to say two more things. Nick, I think you – I don't really know you too well, but I think your Twitter persona is very much you, an angry – Browns fan. Would that describe, like, if I were just one sentence to describe you, angry Browns fan seems pretty accurate. Is that right?
Yeah. I would say that. I just loyal, angry Browns fan that just
would that be like your header on a dating site, like loyal, angry Browns fan?
Yeah, and I would never get a date because they know.
But that's like real life, way, right?
I guess I had a girlfriend up until like a few months ago, but you know, I think shit doesn't work out. My life is pretty much, here's how it is. I'm 29, I'm single, I'm decently good looking, and all I care about is Cleveland sports, and that would be my dating profile.
There you go. And Wojo, I think you're kind of this misunderstood guy on Twitter. You seem to get very fired up. You are very passionate about a lot of things. Is your Twitter persona the real Notorious Wojo?
I mean, I can get fired up, but and Mike and I have known each other, and we tried to get together the last time I was in Cleveland, and it didn't work out. But I've only actually met one person from Twitter, and that's Mazur, and Tony and I have become actually really, really good friends. And he's the first one to tell you that I'm a lot more relaxed than I let on.
You sound like you are.
Yeah, it seems like I'm extremely high strung and, you know, just go off. And I'm really not. I'm actually really, really relaxed about things. Now, 10 years ago? Sure. Before social media? Yeah, I was. But I've mellowed a lot. And it's partly because I just have a lot of things going on right now in my life that, yes, I listen to 92.3 every day. And to the point of my fiance goes, you really need to turn that off. Because, you know, yeah, people like, and if you guys both, all three of you listen to the station, to hear dumbasses on that station sometimes just makes me cringe. It really does.
Yeah.
You know guys.
You're talking about the radio callers?
The hashtag bad Browns fan, you know, that are only worried about, you know, what, you know, where did Brian Hoyer go to high school and the story about, I don't care. I don't care if a quarterback comes and takes a dump in the middle of Tower City, as long as he throws three touchdowns on Sunday. I'm pushing 40, and I've gotten to the point right now where if it wasn't for LeBron this year, I'd think it's never going to happen in my lifetime. And I'm not that old. And it's thank God for LeBron, because do the Browns look like they're ever going to turn the corner? Do the Dolans look like they're ever going to spend a dime on this team that's worthwhile? No. And, you know, this is where I do get fired up, like, God. Because you're worried about dumb stuff rather than worrying about being successful on the field, which is where it really matters.
Yeah.
All right. We'll do our usual here.
You're not going to describe Aaron.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes.
It's Nick. Just one more thing about as far as like Twitter goes. Like, that's where I go to like unleash all my, you know, thoughts and negativity and sports and blah blah. And realize if you guys met me, like, I'd actually be a really cool, funny guy, and it wouldn't be like that. But like, my Twitter persona is like where I is my outlet for all my just all the bullshit that we go through as Cleveland sports fans. So how I am on Twitter isn't exactly how I am in real life, but that's just my outlet just to get it all out, you know.
There you go. Fair enough, man. No, Mike, I would be remiss if I didn't. You are very much, I think, the same person outside of Twitter, although I feel like you do troll a lot less in person, which I think most of us do. But I feel like before I met you, you were the same person as you were on Twitter. I don't think I was surprised by anything.
I'm much less of I'm not as big of an asshole in real life as I am on Twitter.
But you still slightly are in real life.
Slightly, but not even close.
We have had mutual friends agree with that, by the way, Mike. I'm just letting you know that.
That I'm much less of an asshole in real life?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I am. I'm a really nice guy in real life.
All right, guys, we're going to close this down because it's fucking 12:30 at night. We're all tired. I don't have a ton to say in our little blip here at the end. If you guys want to add anything, I will just say, Mark, I miss you. We hope to have you back next week. Boney, it was a fun run, buddy. You are welcome in my mentions or DMs as much as you want, as angry as you are. I will always, I was looking forward to our meeting when you came to Polk, Ohio here shortly, but probably not going to happen now. But I'll miss you nonetheless, and I'll throw it to one of you guys. Whoa, Joe.
And this is my first sports reporter's moment. I'm kind of at a loss, but I do appreciate it as someone who has listened to this since the inception. And as much as everyone cracks on it, for those of us that listen to it, I think we do a hell of a job. I think you guys do a hell of a job. So I'm more than happy to join you guys and try and not be as much of an asshole as I am on Twitter.
Nick?
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you guys for having me. I'll fill in whenever you guys want. I always have something to say. I always have an opinion on whatever, something that. And I feel terrible for not listening to past podcasts, but that's something that I plan on doing and hope to be a part of in the future as a fill-in if you guys ever need.
All right, Mike?
All right. I mean, you get the newcomer takes here. Being the only Michigan fan on the podcast, this week is very important. This is the last time we face Notre Dame for quite some time. And yeah, I just gotta say, shame on you, Notre Dame, for ruining such a great thing by not having the balls to schedule a team that routinely loses 4 or 5 games a year because you can't beat us. And I just hope that we beat the shit out of Notre Dame Saturday night and end this thing on a strong note.
I will be rooting.
That's all I gotta say. Go
Mike,
blue.
Do you have any parting words for Boney?
I made my stance on Boney. You know, he and I are clashing personalities. And
whoa, Joe?
You know, I wish him nothing, but, you know, I don't wish him any ill will at all.
Does Wojo want to answer to any of Boney's previous accusations?
No, I kind of agree with Mike. I don't ever, and I think a lot of people do think that I'm serious about, you know, everything from time to time, and I'm really not. I enjoyed listening to the guy as much as I enjoyed giving him shit, and I'm sure he'll listen. I'm sure he'll critique. I'm sure he'll slide into all of our mentions to tell us that we were unfunny.
Yeah.
I'm
fully expecting that.
Yeah, and that we rehash the same hot sports takes that that we do every week. So, Boney,
it's getting bad when you know what he's going to say, right?
Yeah.
He's repetitive. I mean, you know what he's going to say.
When you do listen, just let you know there's more hot sports takes coming, buddy. We're not going anywhere.
All right. The Playing with the Boys podcast, and whatever Mike's doing in his house. I'm Aaron. For Nick, Wojo, and Mike, you guys have a good night.
Thanks for having me. Good night.